From mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. Well, of course, Dwight D. Eisenhower was one of our most influential presidents. He had a huge role to play in World War II, which led to him being a fantastic president, served two terms, and he warned the public of the military-industrial complex, these strange relationships that are formed behind the scenes that many conspiracy theorists latch onto. Some even say that he knew about an arrangement made between our government and beings from beyond. Well, you know, he may also have had some psychic genes, because his great-granddaughter is a clairvoyant. She is a very successful woman who has traveled all over the U.S. and abroad, helping people develop their knowledge of advanced frontiers, natural systems, alchemy, metaphysics, ancient history. And her website is called CosmicGaia2012.com. There is a link to it at SpeakingOfStrange.com. Her name is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And Laura, thank you so much for being on the program tonight.
Hello, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the timing is perfect here because we're seeing more and more a culmination of information that's all coming together, enlightening people, at least in our country, to the fact that some big changes are on the way. And how would you describe yourself, what it was like to be born into a world where already instantly you're associated with this famous, powerful name, and then on top of that you have so many talents and abilities to continue that legacy? What was it like for you to grow up with this name Eisenhower attached to you?
Well, I have to say it was pretty surreal, but at the same time, I don't have much to compare it to except for, you know, any sort of memories of other lives. I found it growing over time as I spent more time with the family and got to know his son, who's still alive, who I see when I can. His name is John S.C. Eisenhower. And I would go to family gatherings and look through the family photo albums and see pictures of, you know, them going to visit different places, you know, during World War II, certain, you know, images that were just so disturbing to me that they witnessed. And so, you know, just looking at the family album and sort of piecing all this together, realizing he wasn't just president, he was general, and then grasping the whole ET thing and everything else that was coming into me just naturally on its own as I found myself connecting more to him as a spirit than really being able to connect to the cover-ups and the things that weren't talked about in the family, even though they weren't covering anything up, but just sort of this larger cover-up. They just didn't know, or they just weren't telling me. It's hard to figure out whether or not they just weren't telling me, or if they didn't know at all. But, you know, it's been very interesting, and I have a particular mission all on my own, but it's very complimentary to him because it is dealing with the end of the military-industrial complex. It is connecting to the ET treaties and, you know, just the whole ET presence on Earth. There's about 118 species that interact with Earth. And then just, yeah, all the esoteric stuff that kind of connects to the missing link of what's really important right now to shift us out of the military industrial complex, extraterrestrial complex on the lower ET level.
So now, at what point in your life did you feel comfortable acknowledging that you have these talents and gifts to connect with the spiritual world?
Well, it was just at a very young age. I had some really weird dreams. I was really being prepared for this incredible journey. There was just a period from about maybe the age of 7 to 10 where I had all sorts of insights and intuitive realizations and what seemed to be, you know, these higher beings or even the presence of Christ and just the presence of Ike, and they were all just sort of surrounding me, preparing me, sort of warning me that I was going to go through such an incredible death or, you know, have my soul or my mission almost ripped from my awareness, and that I needed to hold on to it for dear life. And it connected to the positive timeline. It connects to what we're wanting to see happen. And so it ended up happening. I was greatly challenged for 20, 25 years, holding really onto dear life to the information that I had and my mission, which I was never really going to lose, but, you know, maybe the self-doubt or the different energies that were put upon me that were like attack energies that really wanted to undermine me and disconnect me from myself. And I just remembered, you know, the preparation time and just all these insights and just all this awareness that I had and really feeling the bliss and the light and just the pure divinity. And I just held on to that, even though it was hard to inhabit my body for, two decades or so.
Now, there is this huge scope of information that we can cover, and I think the easiest thing to do is to start in the past and work our way up to the present and then the future. So let's start with the past. Tell us what you think was the relationship between Dwight Eisenhower and extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings. What do you think the exact strategy was? What happened to him, and what did he maybe want to tell us that he couldn't tell us back then?
Well, it's a very complex thing, and there's a lot of information that hasn't even been put out in the mainstream that I've been connecting to. And it has to do with the treaties that actually started in the 30s. And they were basically with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And these are the kind of treaties that we hear about that Ike had encountered. And actually, every 10 years or so, I believe, these treaties are updated or renewed. And it's been going on for a while. And it really was in the specific date is July 11, 1934, that the first treaty happened. And it basically gave the ETs permission to abduct. And as long as, you know, the names were given and the memories were erased, it was going to be okay. And there was a refusal to not take the offer to disarm, you know, all weapons and have, you know, a peaceful society. And this is what led to the Second World War and, you know, the Nazi power. And a lot of people don't know this. Usually they think that the treaties began with Eisenhower, and that's not the case. There's some incredible insider information with whistleblowers that are involved in some heavy-duty projects that have been disclosing this type of information. As far as Eisenhower goes, he was put into the presidency and was facing sort of a renewal of these treaties, but it was more with this group called ULTRA that are connected to the NSA that made the official agreement. And things, you know, obviously got out of control. It's called the Grenada Treaty. And there was another offer to assist in breaking it. But, you know, since the 30s, there's been a major mind control that has happened in the government, a major group of advisors that are very much working on the dark side that have been behind the renewal of these treaties in the favor of New World Order and, you know, co-creating with these lower races to really use technology as a means to create immortality and stay on the earth plane and create this continue this false matrix. So what I believe Ike was very connected with on a spiritual level, that he was strongly staying as bonded to as he possibly could, is that he had the best interests of humanity at heart. Doesn't mean that he didn't make bad choices or maybe had some level of control upon him. He did have 8 heart attacks. But I do know that when he started to realize after the Second World War that the war hadn't really been won because Project Paperclip was set up, which brought about 1,500 scientists of the Nazi Party over to the American government. And this was all connected to, you know, alien technologies, particularly the mind control. And so he was pushed into the presidency after the war. And in a way, they tried to befriend him. Like Rockefeller sort of took him under his wing and convinced him to become president. And he found that, you know, these people actually weren't his friends, and they were a part of the very thing that he tried to battle. And that's when, you know, he started to have the desire to speak, and I think he was greatly threatened, and the only chance he could really say anything was in his farewell address. And so, of course, we're still dealing with this to this day, and it's gotten, I mean, it's pretty much out of control as far as the government is concerned. And, but, I mean, when he encountered the higher races, it supposedly happened in the 1960s, a Venetian group If people Google things about Valiant Thor, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, there's a lot of disinfo on the internet, but the insiders I was dealing with, or the secret government when I was recruited to go to Mars in 2006, one of those that had sort of defected from the program had leaked to me that he did indeed meet with three Venetians, and they had told him about his descendant that was going to be born. And I was like, whoa. But of course, I can't believe everything I hear. I can share it and say, you know, it makes sense because my mission's so powerful, and that's why I was recruited to go to Mars, is because through Looking Glass Technologies, which can look into the past and the future, they're able to see, you know, what a person's work is all about. And that's how they tracked me and found me. Right. And that kind of ties Tim and I together in a sense.
Sure, absolutely. And that must have been profound to know that, you know, he had some insight that, you know, his family would continue having this involvement. We've got a couple minutes before our first break. But just to be specific, now, in this treaty, the permission was given for the visitors, we'll call them, to abduct some people. But what did our country get out of this in return?
Oh, yeah, weapons. I mean, it's technologies, powerful technologies, the trauma-based mind control technologies, and also, you know, technologies related to free energy and just basically, like the Andrew Bishago, my colleague, and the teleportation programs and time travel, and just pretty much everything that we hear about is, in a sense, beyond what we're using in our daily life and in our world, was exchanged during these treaty programs. And so there's very, very advanced technologies being used that were part of that barter. And the lust for those technologies became much stronger than the care for humanity. And so it just made a select few sort of hoard them and use them to further agendas that were a whole part of why these treaties even came about. It was like a barter that was actually serving the agenda of those of the races that wanted to create the barter. So there wasn't really a good exchange because all it did was recruit humans as hosts to help implement more of their plan and infiltrate the population of the world. And so in a sense, they were able to have more influence. And, I mean, this really was launched in the 1930s. And it's not just these particular technologies, anti-gravity devices, metals and alloys, medical technologies as well. And this is really, you know, there's 4,000 underground bases and all sorts of experimentations and testing goes on. And this whole idea of creating a super race that is run off computers called beast computers. So it's pretty freaky. And the saving grace that I'm happy to report is I represent, in a sense, the positive timeline. I call it Alternative 4, because Alternative 3 was the establishment of underground bases and off-planet colonies. So I'm thinking, okay, we're in present time. Now let's upgrade this. We're not controlled by our past. We're not controlled by anything that's taken place. We're higher beings than this. So I've been pushing Alternative 4, which is the power of the human spirit and its ability to break free of this. And it's connected to Venus transits and Venus, actually, so it made sense that the Venetians would have been aware of this, except for the fact that any discussion of it, the government would not allow because they were afraid that the people would not need them anymore if they were aware of this greater power.
All right, we got to go ahead.
Our unified field, which is all of us kind of in our oneness and unity consciousness.
Sure. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take our first break. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. When we come back, I want to know more about how this is shaping our world today, what the future may look like, and also I will ask Laura about whether or not that she feels Ike actually met directly with some of these beings, and if she has herself, because obviously, as you can tell, she has grasped the larger concept here, the larger meaning behind what all of this is leading toward. I'm talking with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. She's the granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, And also, a little later in this hour, we're going to bring in Mobius, and he has a report, some breaking news, that he's going to share with both Laura and me about the ET phenomenon, and we'll get her take on that as well. Be sure to visit CosmicGaia2012.com. Gaia is spelled G-A-I-A, CosmicGaia2012.com, and we'll be right back to continue this discussion. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren.
The un-American needs a personal Jesus. Should fix the un-American, a threat to security, feeding on literature from a socialist state. The un-American, it really breaks my heart to see a promising citizen deviate. By a new, buy a new, buy a new, buy a new, it'll be alright. Buy a new, 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 buy. That should fix the un-American.
How much are we sort of inspired to put our head in the sand as Americans, just pay our taxes, go to our jobs, watch TV, and feed a system controlled by powers that we don't always have full disclosure of? You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and talking this hour with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. She's the great-granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. She told us in the last segment 118 species of aliens may be out there. And Laura, do you think that Ike actually met with some of them face to face? And have you ever had that opportunity?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he did, because this particular treaty in 1954, I think there was about three during that era. And then in the 60s, like I said, the one with the Venetians. And this is, you know, down to a lot of research and just intuition that I've come to this, but also he wasn't really in control as a president. The Pentagon and the military force had really taken over, because the Second World War and the whole rise of the Nazi power, like I said, had sunk into the American government. But we have to realize that even in the Illuminati and in MJ-12 and in all these secret factions and groups, there's good and bad, and there are many who are using these technologies, reverse engineering them to protect us, and some obviously to not. And so there's kind of an internal war going on of light and dark. And, you know, we can't, you know, put it all down to evil, even in any particular species or race of ET. I mean, there's not so good Palladians, and there's, you know, some positives even within the negative. So we really, you know, we're dealing with the duality. And in an imbalanced humanity, it's easy to attract parasitic lower beings and entities, just like the physical human body attracts germs and parasites and disease when it's out of balance. So it's coming into balance with the masculine and feminine that's really the missing link right now. As far as me, I had some encounters when I was younger. I was given a viewfinder to look through from this higher race, really beautiful, luminous race. They didn't tell me what their name was. And they said, look through this. This is the future. This is going to be the most beautiful future, and hold on to this. This is part of the preparation. And I had strange things happen, like my blanket turned into a being and started talking to me. I don't know. That was just a strange dream. And I've always, you know, had sort of a communication with spirit guides, but very much on an internal level. As far as being showing up, it was really just that one experience. But as we know, sometimes our memories can be erased. And I think it's wise for anybody to, you know, go in some kind of regression. I've done a little bit of it, but it was more into past lives to unlock certain necessary information that pertains to right now. But yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, a constant contactee, but I have had some interesting things happen when I was much younger. And now I'm really directly just connecting to Source, just to save myself or protect myself from any deceptions, because this is a very critical time to be careful what we're listening to and what we're being communicated. So I try and, you know, just stay in the direct line and have an open mind to any other kind of communications that go on around me, from others, or just, you know, just thoughts and beliefs that I might develop based on something I might be telepathing or receiving. But ultimately, I just try and keep my attention there, because this is a very fragile time of major deception being stepped up a lot of notches, because this is really the final showdown for the Draco reptilians and their desire to pretty much take over the planet.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you bring that up, because everybody who is aware senses that there are big changes going on. Something critical is about to happen. How do you feel the next, say, 2 to 5 years are going to play out in this country?
It's going to be very challenging for many, because there are so many people that are being aroused to fear because of these false flag events that happen. And I mean, this whole Osama bin Laden thing, I'm almost 95 to 100% sure that's just all false. I mean, he died a long time ago. I could just tell, just being a practicing clairvoyant, looking at those pictures of them strategizing, it was total theater. Hillary Clinton sitting there, you know, looking all concerned. I'm sorry, no. If anybody knows whistleblower Kathy O'Brien and what she said about Hillary and what David Icke said, you know, there's a lot of nastiness going on there. A lot of these people have really been taken over. So in the next couple of years, I really see the expansion into higher dimensions and a higher density and a lot of incredible movement on the spiritual level, but that work's done more internally, where on an external level, there's going to be mass manipulation, false flags, possible blue beam projects that will, you know, create a scenario of a second coming of Christ or an alien invasion. Even though we're dealing with negative ETs, they do it very covertly. They're not going to do it out in the open. They've been underground. They've been, you know, using chips and then, of course, the abductions that are happening to prevent their race from dying, and they work alongside people. And, of course, there's the negative and positive. So as we're pushing out of this duality of good and evil, many are going to find themselves opening up to much higher frequencies. But like I said, it's going to take a lot of internal work. It's not about a savior coming, even though I do feel and almost for certain can say that higher races have been assisting us and will continue to assist us. But ultimately, on a spiritual level, it's the internal work. It's clearing the programs, clearing the deceptions, and clearing ourselves from what we think is normal, like you were just saying, you know, just paying our taxes, going to work, and not questioning things. That is not a good way to go right now. It's important to question everything and get stronger internally, so that the intuition is really enhanced, so that the gut feeling can guide the way rather than just believing everything that you hear. Even questioning me is important, but, you know, I'm kind of coming from a place of wanting to empower people to their own truth and wisdom rather than, you know, claim to have all the answers. I think the greatest answer we have is turning to ourselves and really empowering our own divinity and our own ability to discern. And in fact, that most of these technologies are mimicking latent powers that we already have. And that's why it has so much power right now, because we're all dumbed down. Our DNA's been affected, and these technologies are exploding, but really it's inspired by abilities that they're kind of shutting down. And when we learn how to open that up, we find that our frequency defies the technologies, and the use of the negative ones becomes deactivated. And things like HARP and these computers aren't able to function because they can't even read the frequency of higher consciousness. There's a certain level that they can't even read the future, because the vibration supposedly is going to be so high that they can't pick up on it. So there's a big race against our consciousness. So the attempts of the false flags are to keep us from ourselves so that they can continue to have power over us. And once we realize this, everything becomes a lot easier.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our next break, and when we come back, we're also going to include Mobius in this conversation because I want to thank Mobius for making arrangements for Laura to be on the program tonight, and he has some breaking news to share with us, which ties right into the topic. I cannot wait to see what Laura thinks about this as well. And, you know, we're talking about some very critical conditions right now in our country, on our planet. Something is changing. Something big is on the way. We're all trying to get a handle on it. And we have to admire Laura Magdalene Eisenhower for carrying on that legacy that began with her great-grandfather, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and using her own talents and abilities to help bring insight to us now about concepts that are hard for some people to grasp. I mean, some of this stuff just seems too vast, and it's on a higher frequency. You've got to be able to stop for a minute, open your mind, and consider, what if there are 118 species of aliens? What if the government has these treaties, these arrangements, and what if they're about to come to an end? And that's what we're going to talk some with Mobius about in a minute. Again, her website is CosmicGaia2012.com. That's G-A-I-A, CosmicGaia2012.com. Listening to Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, talking this hour with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, great-granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. She is a clairvoyant and a world traveler who has all kinds of insight for us on the madness that seems to be happening in the world today. And also, we're going to bring in Mobius. Mobius, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Okay, now, you know, for the beginning of this, I want to just thank you again for making arrangements for Laura to be on the show, and yet you contacted me just before showtime and said, you're not going to believe this. I've got some breaking news that's going to be perfect for the hour when Laura is on the program. And Laura, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, so Mobius, what's going on?
Okay, our infamous Rob from the Netherlands thought he was just going to have, you know, a normal vacation over in Bulgaria. He is in Varna, and he's at a hotel, and he was complaining because after arriving there, NATO showed up, and he has to have his ID with him to come back onto the property from the beach to go get breakfast, and he said it was kind of like being in a concentration camp to somebody from the Netherlands, and he wasn't very happy about it. But the more he started talking, the more I'm like, this is great, Rob. And I asked him to go see if he could get information. And so he asked me, he's like, I don't want to make a fool out of myself. How would I start such a conversation? And I suggested that he reference the Canadian defense minister and ask the people if they agreed with him or they thought the guy was just totally crazy. I said, you know, this would be an innocent way to open up the conversation. And so with that, he went out into the hotel and he agreed to see what he could find out. So from here comes the information.
Okay, so now he is talking to NATO officials in this highly secured area, and he got them to open up and give him some info, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to say who these officials are.
Right.
But let us say that they represent five different countries that he was able to find.
Mm-hmm.
And let us also add that two bottles of brandy are involved in the following conversation that was used to kind of loosen these people up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so after a long conversation, he asked some of the people about the Canadian defense minister and said, is the guy crazy? And they kind of told him, no, that, you know, we have worked with him, we respect him, and everything he said is absolutely the truth. And Rob was not expecting this answer. So then he's like, so you're saying that there's such things as UFOs? And so they basically then said, well, we've had a policy up till now. If a picture is not seen, then we simply say that it was something, you know, like swamp gas. But if there is a picture, the Russians blame it on the Chinese blame it on the Russians, the Americans blame it on the Chinese and the Russians. The people in the UK blame it on the people in China. It has worked great until now. And he's sitting there like, what? And so they go on to tell him that since the 1950s, that the United States has been in contact with races of ETs, and that there was some type of 60-year agreement made to eliminate disclosure, and that simply it was felt that people of strong religious faith could not handle a bunch of ETs showing up saying, we created you, and that the Americans have mainstreamed this, and that we have used those 60 years to build weapons and to potentially try to fight disclosure because it's not been, you know, always that good of a relationship, and that we are very much holding on to petroleum and energy because you can't be a superpower if you have things that you can't tax, and they have technologies that we cannot imagine. Supposedly, some of the things that I'm discussing are being discussed at this NATO summit right now. And the 60 years is up, and disclosure is going to happen, and the aliens are going to make it if we don't. And supposedly, all the things we're seeing are part of them pushing for what has been promised, and that we're not totally comfortable making open disclosure. But the agreement is up, and now we have to. And the timetable is now. So everything that she has just said was independently confirmed by five countries' people with a bunch of brandy being fed to them, and the information came in only hours ago. Sheer coincidence and total synchronicity.
Well, you know, we've heard from some great sources over the years this same kind of thing. I mean, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Sixth Man to Walk on the Moon, told us there are a number of alien races. We're in touch with them. We've had many other guests. Laura's telling us this now. Now you've got this information straight from a NATO conference. Laura, what do you think about what you just heard from Mobius?
No, it doesn't surprise me. But as far as the aliens created us, you have to realize that on a particular level, they did as far as this particular universe and Earth plane, but ultimately the true source creator has been a part of the huge cosmic cover-up that I was told about, that I've kind of experienced and lived through, that's connected to Sophia. And that basically the agenda since Babylonian times has been to rewrite everything to kind of knock that energy out or demonize it or separate people from it. And it connects to Gaia, it connects to the divine blueprint, it connects to our DNA fully activated, it connects to Kundalini, and all these different things that help us restore ourselves to who we really are, which gives us our power back. And so the Anunnaki, you know, are considered, you know, pretty much the ones that created us. But they wish to create a slave race, and the Enki and Enlil energy sort of split so that one got into behavior modification and mind control, then the other sort of went underground, and the Gnostic wisdom went underground, and so did the goddess energy. So my work is to restore that and bring it back, and that's going to be a huge disclosure when people start to awaken to this. And it's not, people can call it spiritual, but it's just as much a reality, and she's basically the mother of all star systems, races, archons, lower end, positive ETs, and if people understand the myth, they'll understand why the creation has come about the way that it has and why there's higher and lower races and how one is the aeons and one are the archons. And so there's a lot more to dig into. And so as this all gets disclosed, this is going to be another layer that comes forward because the Anunnaki are connected to the feminine force that they exiled themselves, who has Anunnaki connection, and that's the Ishtar and Nana. And so, yes, this all makes sense. It's all in alignment to all this, but there's more layers that are going to be revealed. This is a most necessary one right now to get the ball rolling for sure.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we'll just have a few minutes left in this hour, and I want to reiterate some of what both Mobius and Laura have said. Basically, I understand there may have been a particular treaty made in 1952 that lasts 60 years, and that 60 years is going to be up next year in 2012. We'll see what Laura thinks about that, if next year is really going to be as special as so many people think it will be. Her name is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. She's the great-granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and she has taken the knowledge she's grown up with, combined that with her own talents and skills and insight to try to spread the message, preparing people for what they can expect in the very near future. Her website, again, is CosmicGaia2012.com. Gaia is spelled G-A-I-A, CosmicGaia2012.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back. Next, it's the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into some of the most controversial and outrageous news of the past week or so. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. I've been talking this hour with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And Laura, before we ask you about your thoughts on 2012, tell us how listeners can learn more about you and your work and, you know, things that you're involved with right now.
Well, basically through my website, you'll see some of the conferences I'll be doing. Definitely want to encourage people to go to the Truth event that is in Port Townsend, Washington in August. I think it's the 27th. The information is on my website. And then a conference in Hawaii, which is June 19th to the 24th. And the Pythagoras conference, and then some other events that are going to be happening that, like I said, is all on my website. So hopefully people can attend those. I will also be doing online workshops and more that will be available online through videos and different courses that I'll be teaching or reminding people. I'm a reminder, not really a teacher. And, most of the information is on my website, though, so I just direct people there.
Good, good. Again, that's CosmicGaia2012.com, G-A-I-A, CosmicGaia2012. So what do you think is going to happen in 2012? We've got about 3 minutes here, Laura.
Well, the Draco Reptilian agenda is to basically take over everything in during that year, and it's also a year where the Venus transits are such that the Earth, Venus, and Sun are all aligned, and the frequencies coming from the galactic core of unity consciousness is going to be so powerful that it's going to be hard for any of these lower agendas to really work or happen. And so, you know, there's two scenarios. One would be the doom scenario. One would be the very positive one. And I only believe in the positive. That's the only real thing to me. But we are dealing with a very demonic world. If people understand Venus transits, it's actually turning the inversion of the pentagram and the demonic consciousness of the Illuminati upright again and clearing the planetary energy fields from it that have really been anchored into our world for thousands of years. And so the force of the divine feminine of being awakened in men and women, which is beyond gender, it's just an energy in the cosmos, really being anchored on Earth is what's going to move us into the positive, which will definitely begin in 2012 as the crumbling agendas that are targeted to 2012 will not sustain itself. When I was going to be taken to Mars, the target date was 2012, and I didn't go. I'm here to do my work here on Mother Earth, and so that was one timeline that got destroyed. And all I see is the positive. All I see is just, you know, divine illumination. I've had prophetic dreams about it my whole life. And yeah, so just be wary, open your eyes, research, you know, knowledge is power, and pull your energy back, give it to yourself. Government is mind controlled. Get away from those institutions and start to look to each other and build the power, because the immune system of the planet is our spirit connection, and that is going to raise the frequencies and get us out of this mess.
Excellent. Well, you know, I can't commend you enough for taking all of the legacy that you have inherited, and again, combining that with your own ability and insight to inform people about what's coming and give us a deeper level of information about the way that the government is working behind the scenes. Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right, well, there you have it, my friends. You know, we've heard for years that Dwight D. Eisenhower was one of the key figures who was involved in that relationship with beings from elsewhere, that he had to participate in a deal. I mean, maybe he wasn't the origin of the deal, but he had to participate in a deal where these aliens, for lack of a better term, were given the authority to abduct us and experiment and use resources in return for giving us technology which has maintained the U.S. status as a superpower. And I know right now there are a lot of people around the world who are looking down on the U.S. because of our economy, but I still have no doubt that we could defeat just about any other country. I mean, I just feel confident in our military, and that may be because, you know, so much of the information that we get, so much of the technology that comes our way, has been the product of this sort of interaction with those beings, and we've bankrupted ourselves to maintain the secrets best we can. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and keep Mobius with us and get some of his thoughts during the Dark 30 hour, when we get into some of the more outrageous, controversial, and for some people, offensive news. But hey, we report it, we comment on it, but we don't create it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual.